We read Isaiah 53 and we want to think of verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep. I have to watch what I say tonight for the sheep farmers in the meeting, and they know more about sheep than I do, but I'm learning. My son-in-law has sheep, and I've been out there. Generally, I get the job cleaning out when they go out to the field. But there we are, sheep. All we like sheep means you and I. We've turned away from God. Sinners, born in sin, born with our faces towards hell and our backs toward heaven. People don't like that today, but that's the condition. And we've been born with a tendency to sin, the depravity to sin, and we're born with the desire to sin, and we have got older and we've committed sin. Sins of word and deed, thought. All kinds of sins have been committed. Now, if we could take a pen and write up on the wall the sins that we have committed, it would be awful. The thoughts that have come through our head. Now you say, well, hold on, I'm not as bad as that other man. You know, there's murderers in Londonderry, and they're bad men. I'm not as bad as them. And there's all kinds of... But it says we're all sin. All of sin. Yeah. All we like sheep. Like sheep. God created Adam and Eve there, and they created them without sin, and then they disobeyed, and they fell, and they represented you and I. You say, if I would have been there, I wouldn't have done it. No, we would have done it. We would have. Adam and Eve fell into sin, and it's been handed down from generation to generation. They represented us, our first parents. And sin came along into their home, and there in Adam and Eve's home, we find jealousy, bitterness, covetousness. We find murder. We find death there. Oh my, how sad it is even for our first parents. They were the leaders of the flock, and they've gone astray. As I said earlier, you can lead someone in the right direction, or you can lead them in the wrong direction. And our first parents have led us in the wrong direction. It's nice to know that we've had mothers and fathers and friends that would lead us in the right direction. We've gone astray. We've turned our back on the Lord. There's a shepherd in the field with the sheep, and some of the sheep go astray. And what do? They turn their back on the good shepherd, and they walk off into other pasture. Yeah, they walk away from the Lord. They walk away from the protection, from the love, from the kindness. Now, not all shepherds are like that. Some shepherds are pretty cruel, aren't they? I know up, I'll not say where it is, but there's one man, and he keeps sheep. And a lot of his sheep and lambs are for food for the birds, because they die and they're left out in the field. The birds eat it. He's very cruel. He's very careless. He does something that you're not supposed to do. Maybe you didn't know this, but you don't go out to look at sheep at night time, late at night. You're not supposed to. This man goes out at 12 o'clock at night. He comes home from wherever he has been, and he goes out with a torch, and he goes around, and the little ewe and the lambs have been made their bed for the night, and then they come out, and then they're in the cold, and they get cold and chilled. He doesn't care. But oh, there's good shepherds. Man, the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. Yeah. He watches over the sheep, he cares for the sheep, he feeds the sheep, he takes them to the best pastures. Yeah. And he watches the stray sheep and the stray lamb go out into the dirt and the dangers of the world. Haven't we watched some of our young people go out, some of the older folk go out from our churches? And they've strayed away. Oh, they once loved the things of God, and they've strayed away. And tonight they're out in the world, and it's dirty, and sin's dirty. It's dark, the darkness of sin, the dirt, the dangers, the animals. There's animals out there, two-legged animals out there. And they're out to destroy and to kill. And there's death out there, eternal death. Man down in Newry, George, and he had a business. Machinery business and scrap and metal, but he kept a lot of sheep. He used to buy in sheep and fatten them up and so forth over the winter. And he had this farm, but George was busy. In the middle of the winter, he went down at nights and he would feed the sheep. But one night he went down, it was a very cold, snowy, wintry night, And he opened the shed door, and of course he opened the door, and the sheep ran out up the yard, and he would carry the bag of meal in and food in, and they would all run in behind him again, and pushing and shoving and jumping and skipping, and he would feed them and talk to them. If you don't talk to the cows and the sheep, you know, you're not doing well. And this night he came out, and two lambs had run up the yard, and oh, he says, I'm not running after you at this time of the night. And they headed away off out through the yard. He shut the door, he says, I'll go looking for you on Saturday. And he headed home. Down the next night and fed, and here's one of the lambs comes tiddling down the yard and in among the rest goes in, but there's one lamb missing. I think of the hymn, there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of it, but one was out in the hills away or off from the gates of gold. You know, George, he forgot about the lamb. A couple of weeks passed and he says, I better go and look for that lamb, I haven't seen it. This is a typical picture of many young people that walk away from God and go out into the world of sin. They went out round the field and they come up round to the back of a dwelling house, and across from their back window, and there the lamb was caught on a piece of wire. And there's a wee track left where it had walked about until it died. And the sad thing was that that little lamb was in view of the kitchen window of a Christian family. But they didn't go out to release the lamb. A piece of wire held it till it died. We've turned everyone to his own way. You and I, friend, are sinners. We're marked with sin. Some of us have come to know Christ as our Savior. Maybe you're not saved. Oh, beware of the word. Our own way, selfish way, sinful way, greedy way. Helped others to sin. When an old sheep breaks out, generally it takes at least its lambs with it, isn't that right? The old sheep gets out and goes up the road, and then you notice the others following. So sad. So sad. So sad for a farmer even to lose a lamb, to lose a mother, a ewe. Yet with all, we watch so many going about today, and they go into the world without Christ, without a Savior, and to live and to die and to turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here we are like sheep. And God the Father, he loved the sheep. And God the Father wanted a Savior, he wanted a shepherd, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I'll go, I'll be the shepherd, I'll be their Savior. But you can't be a shepherd unless you know your job. You can't be a shepherd, you can't be a Savior unless you've qualified. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to go to Calvary to qualify. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And the Lord Jesus Christ became the good shepherd. And it says the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? What are you doing with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? We're going to look at a few people and what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of Judas. Judas, we'll use the word discarded, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to, the meaning of discarded is to throw something away. You get your McDonald's burger and chips, and you get the paper that's left, and after you lick the paper, you throw it in the bin, isn't that right? Discarded, no value. Here's Judas, and he's watching the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been there with him 3 years, and he says, what can I gain out of this? What can I get out of this? What am I going to benefit? Will I be a leader? Will I be something special when the Jesus Christ is King of Israel? What am I going to get out of this? And he sees things are going different. It's spiritual. It's not physical. It's eternal and not temporal. Jesus is going to go to Calvary, and he's going to die, he says. And Judas says, what can I get? I can get 30 pieces of silver. And he takes the 30 pieces of silver, and you can see him taking the 30 pieces of silver with that hand and throwing Jesus away with that hand. Aren't they doing that today? Old W.P. Nicholson said, Judas got well paid compared to some people in this town. They're selling the Lord Jesus Christ for a bottle of stout. They're selling him for a scratch card. They're selling him for a day out, a night in the club. Judas, he discards the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets the 30 pieces of silver, but he couldn't handle it. He couldn't keep it. And I see him throwing down the money. But he's gone over the line of salvation. He's perished. There's a line drawn that we cannot see. He takes his life. He commits suicide. Yeah. Walks away, discards the one that loved him. Discards the one that hung on Calvary's tree. He says, God's salvation's of no value. We move a little quicker because he come to the man that the rulers declared to be guilty of death. Judas discarded Christ. But the rulers and the religious leaders, they declared Jesus to be guilty. Here they were, religious people. Yeah. Ananias, or Annas and Caiaphas, priests, Levites, the crowd. Yeah, they paid Judas for the betrayal. They get the money back. They said, no, you... And they bought a field with it. There they are, hardened of heart, religious, have the scriptures, read the scriptures, say their prayers, but they haven't a savior. Are we not living in a day like that today? You can go to churches and you can have all kinds of things and all kinds of entertainment and all kinds of music and reading scriptures, but they don't have the Savior. You ask them about it, know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Are you born again? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Have you the indwelling Spirit? Ha, that's a different one. We don't often ask that. If you're in some of these countries like China and stuff, they don't ask you, are you saved? They said, do you know the indwelling Spirit of Christ? And here were religious leaders, churchmen. They weren't saved, friend. And they take the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, crucify him, crucify him. They don't want the Savior. They've hardened their hearts. What do they think of the Good Shepherd? What do they think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do they think of the one that was laid on him, the iniquity of us all? They say he's declared guilty of death. And so Judas, he discards Christ. They bring Christ to the religious leaders and they declare, crucify him. Take him away. Crucify him. Yeah. He goes to the soldiers. What do? There's a word we cover it. Derided him. They took the Good Shepherd. They took the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 19, it says they scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. They mocked, they insulted, they scourged him. They left his back like a ploughed field. They deride him. They mock him. They pull the hairs, they laugh. They said, if this is the King of the Jews, put a robe on him, put a crown on him, give him a reed in his hand, we'll bow before him. Hail, King of the Jews. Yeah. He saved others. Let him save himself. They derided him. Yes, he's been declared guilty. He's mocked, he's insulted by the soldiers. What a night it must have been. And there in the crowd, down there in Pilate's hall, the Lord Jesus Christ has been beaten, and he's been mocked, and he's bleeding. There's a man standing down there, and his name is Peter. And he's watching. Now, Peter was no softy. I reckon Peter would have been a brave, tough sort of a character. He'd worked on the boats and the ships in the Sea of Galilee. Hard work. Peter wasn't very afraid of anything. But there he's down in the crowd and he's got himself surrounded by the ungodly crowd. You see, it's dangerous, no matter what age you are, to get into the wrong crowd, the wrong place at the wrong time. There's times when you're invited to go certain places and you say, no, I'm not going. Yeah, and there's other times when you're invited certain places, you say, yeah, I'm going, I'm delighted, I'll rejoice, I'll be brilliant, get my supper. But there's times when we want to be careful what crowd we're amongst. Peter's there. Peter is a man of great privilege. He'd been with the disciples for years. He was a man that was looked up to. He was the older disciple. And the Lord had spoken to him and he said, you know, Peter, you want to watch it. You don't deny me. The word denial. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? You watch, you don't deny me. Yeah. Oh, Peter says, I'll not deny you. I'll die for you. He takes the word denial and changes it around. He says, I'll die for you if need be. He said, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Oh, Satan. I have no worry about the devil. Devil doesn't worry me. Friend, you get into the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong company. The devil gets a hold of you. It's amazing what he'll do to you. Many a great man of God has fallen. Here's Peter. And a wee maid comes up and says, are you one of Jesus' disciples? No, no, no. Wow. Come on, folks, you know what I mean. There's times when we have denied the Lord ourselves. There's times we should have spoken up for Christ and we didn't. Then, a while later, are you one of Jesus' disciples? You've got that Galilean accent. Oh, no, 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 no. And then the third time, and he curses and he swears, and he emphasizes that he doesn't belong. Look, the people knew that Jesus' company didn't curse and swear. Did you know that we have people today, and they profess to be saved, and they profess to hold a very high standard of salvation, but they believe you can curse and swear and use the words and the language of the world and still be a Christian? I can't see that. Now, when the miners got saved in Wales, when the Welsh revival came, the miners got saved and they had cursed and swore at the ponies all their life. And when they went down into the pit with the pony didn't obey them because their language was changed. They didn't curse the pony, they didn't kick the pony. The righteous are good to their beast. That's what Proverbs says. Here's Peter. Says earlier that he'd been walking a distance from Christ. He got caught in the wrong crowd, the wrong company, the wrong place, the wrong time. He got caught with a question that he had trouble getting answers to. Oh, be careful. You're saved tonight. Be careful not to get a distance from the Lord. It's easy done. It's easy to get a distance. We can get so busy. It's all right for you, Your Reverence, you're retired. Let me tell you, when you get retired, it's so easy to slip. It is easy, especially in the ministry. Oh, in the ministry, you're busy every week. You're reading and praying and looking for sermons and searching about. And then you retire and life goes easier. And now I'm running about searching for burgers and sausages and baps and stuff. And you can backslide. But we can cover it up better, can't we? Oh, hello, how are you? Keeping well, yes. How's the children and the family? I suppose you miss the ministry every Sunday. Oh, yes, indeed. You can cover it, friend. And we can cover a coldness in our heart. Oh, my, as we said this morning, Isaiah had a fire in his lips and a fire in his heart. And Peter goes a distance from the Lord, and he falls. He falls. It says, after he fell, the Lord looked upon him and he went out and he wept. He wept. Oh, I see here Judas discards the Lord, throws him away. No good to me. Silver money I want. The religious leaders, they declare he's guilty. Take him away. Crucify him. And the soldiers, they take him. They deride him. They mock him. They persecute him. They laugh. They pull the hair from his face. They beat him. They scourge him. And Peter, in the middle of the crowd, he's questioned, and the pressure's on, and he denies the Lord. No, 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 I'm not saved. Then the Lord comes before Pilate. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think of the one that the Lord hath laid on him, the iniquity of his all? What do you think of the good shepherd now? What do you think of the chief shepherd? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he stands before Pilate, and it says they delivered him, therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. He stands before Pilate, and Pilate says, what am I going to do with this man, that Jesus that's called the Christ? And then delivered he him therefore unto them. He delivers Christ to be crucified. If you don't deliver Christ to be crucified, you're no friend of Caesar's. Oh, that was an awful blow. This is the King of the Jews. You're going to be siding with the King of the Jews and against Caesar. What are you going to do? Make your decision. But he's innocent. Yeah, he may be innocent, but you make your decision. And Pilate says, see ye to it. Take him away. He feared people. He feared his position. He wanted the vote. Oops. Shouldn't have said that this week. Sure, shouldn't. Wanted the vote. He wanted the popularity. I don't know what party he would have belonged to here if he was here, but he wanted the vote anyway. He was willing to sell his soul for the vote of the people. He wanted the people to be with him. And you know what? If you read history, you find he lost everything that he sought for because he rejected Christ. He lost everything. You say, I need friends. I'd love to be a Christian. I'd love to take Christ as my Savior, but I have some good friends. If they keep you from Christ as your Savior, they're not good friends. I've got a position. I like to be a social person. I like to be climbing the social ladder. Be careful, for it's a very dangerous ladder to climb. It's very slippery. And the people's vote today can be the people's anger tomorrow. Pilate. Take him away. Judas, he's of no value. Yeah. Religious leaders, deliver him. Deliver him, Pilate. Deride him, the soldiers. No, but there's one person who didn't deny the Lord. I see the dying thief. I see two thieves. Now, in Israel, when those days when the Romans crucified people, the one in the middle was the worst person. And I see the thieves on either side. And if you read the story carefully, both of them cursed at the start. And then one of them realizes the awful state he's in. And he says, but we're dying justly. We're dying. This man's innocent. We're dying because of our sin. We're dying because of thieving, stealing, killing, murder. He turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, Lord, remember me. We were suffering justly. Lord, when the gates of heaven open and you enter back into heaven, Lord, remember me. Don't forget me. Lord, when you go down the streets, the golden streets of glory, and the music's singing and or the music's playing and the choirs are singing, Lord, don't forget the dying thief. Lord, when you sit upon your throne in glory, remember me. In other words, keep me a wee place. And the Lord says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, the delight of the dying thief. Now remember, I hear people saying, oh, I'll get saved in the last moments. One got saved and one didn't. One was delighted and one was damned. One took Christ as their Savior. One rejected Christ. Wee woman down in Newton Stewart there. She was a wee woman, a friend, and they were friendly, but this lady was taken ill recently, and they told her the bad news. You haven't long to live. It's galloping cancer. It's gone through. You've only a short time to live. Her wee neighbor friend had been witnessing to her, and she got the Reverend Abraham to go and visit. Reverend Abraham went in to visit her and talked to her about salvation. She says, I need the Savior. And there she trusted Christ as her Savior just across the road in Altney Galvin. He went back a week later to see her, and she was sitting up in bed, and she says, smiling. She says, I know Jesus is my Savior. Eternity's sure and safe. The dying thief. Ah, but after they took the Lord Jesus Christ, they crucified him. And there in the crowd, there was a lady standing watching. Mary Magdalene. Oh man, she loved the Savior. We'll put the word devotion. What do you think, Mary, of the Lord Jesus Christ? I love him. He's my Savior. I'm devoted, we could say. I'm devoted. Well, who was she? She was a woman who had been demon-possessed and a very sinful woman, and the Lord had met her. We don't know all the details, but he had saved her, forgave her, cleansed her, washed her, made her a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. And she was a new woman. She was converted. She was, oh my, she was so happy. And she watches the one she loves die on Calvary. Mary, what do you think of what's happening? She says, it's terrible. It's breaking my heart. You can hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They're nailing my Lord to the tree. And she stands there and she says, I'll go forward and I'll get Jesus a drink. And the soldiers push her back and they laugh at her and they mock her. But she loved the Savior. And eventually, Jesus is taken from the cross and she watches as they carry the body, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus. And they pull the nails out and they roll the body up and they take him down into the tomb and they cover a body with spices and roll it up in cloth. And she watches. She knows that's the tomb over there. I'm not finished. Friend, are you a finished Christian? No, we're not finished. There's work to do. There's things to be done. And she goes away home. And then the Sabbath day comes and she spends the Sabbath brokenhearted. I see her reading the old scripture. I see her reading perhaps Isaiah 53. He was wounded, he's despised, he's rejected. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Yeah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yeah. What do you think, Mary, of Jesus? I love him. I love him. Friend, is that your position tonight? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it Judas? Do you love the money and the silver? Do you love the work, the business? Or do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I love him. I love him. Oh, she weeps at his death. She weeps at the tomb. She goes away. She comes back on Sunday morning. She brings some friends with her. And as they come along, what are we going to do with this big stone? How are we going to roll it away? We've got problems today. Oh, well, stone's away. The angels are here. The guards are lying as if they were dead. God has moved in. Oh, Rabboni, where are you, Master? Where's my Savior? The angel said, he's not here. He's risen. But where is he? Where did he go to? The one I love. I brought spices. I brought embalming. I've spent a lot of money. I love him so much. Where is he? There's all kinds of things take place. And she turns around and someone says to her, she says, it's the gardener. Where did you put him? She says, Master, Mary, Rabboni, my master, my savior, the one I love. She met the living savior. The angel said, come, see the place where he lay. And then go, tell the disciples. Where do you fit in tonight? Where do I fit in? Selling the Lord for some silver, something in this world? Deriding him, mocking him. By there's young people out there, they mock the Lord. It's not long ago up in Londonderry here, there was a pub and a crowd were there. A crowd of young women got together in the corner and they began to chat and where have you come from? And what did you do? One lady said, I was brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church. The other said, so was I. Do you go to the children's meeting? Yeah. The only girl says, I went to children's meeting. I went to the CEF meetings. Someone else said, I went to such and a meeting. Do you learn that wee chorus, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N? And they were getting drunk. Yeah, we did. And so they all began to sing in the pub. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Astray. Away from the shepherd. Oh, that the Lord would draw them back again. Where are you tonight? Are you like the dying thief and you're delighted that you're going to be in glory? Are you like Mary? I love him. I love him. He's my Savior. He's my Rabboni, my Master. He's the one that saved me, forgave me, changed my life. And he's mine forever. All we like sheep have gone astray. Yeah. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you ever think of the sheep that's straying, friend? Pray for them. Talk to them. Don't leave them. No. Don't pass them by. Where my son-in-law and my daughter live out in the country. Neighbor farmer was going past the other week. You know what farmers are like. Sometimes they don't always agree with each other. But this farmer was going past and he thought he saw something in the hedge. So he stopped and went back. There was an old ewe, one of the horny ones, the mountain ewes they call them. And it was stuck in the wire by its horns. It was in an awkward position, and the man could have said, well, I'm dressed, I've my good clothes on. Ah, sure, I'll phone him up and tell that young fella there's a sheep caught. But he didn't. Jumped the hedge and went in, took a pair of pliers and cut the piece of wire. The old ewe gave a skip out of her and a kick out of her and away down the field happy. Wouldn't it be lovely just to go alongside some young boy that's an alcoholic, some mother that's caught in drugs and sin, and talk with them and let the Lord save them and let them get free. Free to love our Savior. What do you think of Christ tonight? Don't sell him. Don't deride him. Don't declare that he should die. But be devoted to him. Don't deny him. Love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul.